Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and welcome back to our political podcast. And as you know, the most important event that probably happened today, I'm just saying that outright, but the probably biggest event that's happened probably since the shutdown began, and also the scandal erupted from the Virginia governor, is the State of the Union address. And this is going to be more mainly talking about the State of the Union address, probably for about 6, 7, maybe even 8 minutes. So just expect that. Put that into your mind. But yeah, like the entire speech itself, I think it was okay. I think it was better than expected. It wasn't like his speech last year. His speech last year was definitely really good. Like, I think Trump's State of the Union last year was one of the best. But this year, it was better than expected, but it wasn't as great as that one. But again, we're going to move back into talking about it as we are right now. So I looked over it. I watched about maybe an hour of it because I did get bored after an hour, because the thing is, I even said while watching is that they clap too much. Like, you got to admit, they clap like almost every 20 seconds Trump talks, and it gets annoying, in my opinion, at least. Like, I still watch like debates and like that for like an hour, but when you're constantly like talking and then everyone's clapping, then they have to sit back down and then you talk for another 20 seconds and then everyone claps again. It just, in my opinion, it just gets annoying. But overall, the speech itself, it pointed out Trump's, you would say, North Korean meeting with Kim Jong-un. And I learned that it was scheduled on February 27th and February 28th, which is over 3 weeks ahead. So I've looked over it, and it's in Vietnam, too. So that's a very important fact. Because if you knew, you probably actually didn't know about this, but in my view, when they put it somewhere else other than North Korea, because I was saying that I supported the move to put it in North Korea because I thought it would be the best place to have it rather than a foreign country, even though, yes, it would reduce the tensions, but I still wanted to at least give the North Koreans a little bit of a way, not really a wager, but definitely something in the meeting. But overall, this is another big victory for Trump, especially if the meeting keeps going well. And I also heard from Trump's speech about how they've not launched any missiles into the air, either near Japan or even into the Pacific Ocean in 15 months. That is very important because before, North Korea was constantly testing missiles. They were constantly launching missiles. They were never stopping. It was just launch, 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 threaten Americans, threaten everyone else nearby that's not part of this regime or not communism, like, or communist, I meant to say, like China. Well, Russia, it's no longer communist, but I still think that Russia, in a sense, is associated with North Korea just a little bit now. But as I've said, he also talked more about illegal immigration in a more, what I would say, business-like. He didn't talk about it like in a rally, because if he had, it would have made the entire speech itself worthless. I think, because that was the one part I even said, I think, in the last podcast that I didn't want Trump to really talk about that much. I think he made a good decision by bringing the angel moms and like that. And if you don't know what angel moms means, it means like, I think parents, children, or anything like that, and their family members of someone who was murdered by an illegal immigrant. And I think the term is in fact made up, not made up, but it was made by President Trump himself. So I did agree with that. But I still said that Trump should not focus on illegal immigration too much in this speech, because if he did, it was going to make this entire thing worthless. It was just going to become a whole stack of his propaganda. And I love Trump for his stance on illegal immigration. But I still said that right now we don't need illegal immigration. We just need more of what you've done before, more achievements other than illegal immigration, because the migrant caravan is in fact heading its way, as in we're going to get into an article of that later. But for now, again, the speech overall, I would rate it about, if you a 1 to a 10, about probably an 8, not a 9, but definitely an 8. I think it was good. I don't think it was an extreme, because I definitely rated Trump's last State of the Union a 9 out of 10, or maybe even a 9.5, because it was very effective. In fact, I think during then, Trump's approval rating went up by at least 10% after the speech. But again, it's just overall, the speech, I think, went well. I still watched Stacey Abrams' speech. She did not do what I thought, and I thought she was going to heavily attack President Trump. I thought she was going to continuously go and go at him until it just got boring and no one liked it. But she did. She still launched a little bit of jabs, not like real jabs, but definitely she kind of threw, like you would say, a little bit of a punch at Trump, if you had sense. But Stacey Abrams overall, she didn't, as I said, do anything that I would think she would do. But that is really what I got for the State of the Union, the State of the Union speech. And again, I just want to add this right here. I continue to just say support to anyone who has listened to this podcast over the last month, because I was never expecting this podcast to get now over 300 plays. In fact, this podcast itself has gotten over 100 plays in the last 3 days. That is amazing. That is just astonishing in my opinion. And I think that it's a very good sign of what's to come for this podcast. But we still have to see as time goes, because you've seen other times your podcasts are growing and all of a sudden they stop and then they start lowering and lowering and lowering and they become irrelevant. But I'm hoping that we can continue growing as time moves on. And I again hope that we can reach 1,000 by either April, May, or maybe even June. But we're going to move on from that statement to the very next. And so the very first article, as I said during my, what would you say, speech about the migrant caravan. The migrant caravan, as at least I heard, was almost here. In fact, I think there was also another report about armored police officers going to the border preparing. Because yes, we've seen about the last time you would say migrants came over. They started becoming a violent mob. And if you would like to say, but mobs not too much. They weren't that violent. Yes, they were, in my opinion. They were throwing rocks. They were trying to very, you would say, violently get into the country. But that's what I've got to at least say. Because in my sense, I've always viewed the migrant caravan, as you know, as a threat to Americans. Or not the Americans themselves, but to the future of American teenagers and the future of you would say, criminology and such as that. Because I even said this. If the migrant caravan came into the country, if it got anyone in, cartels were going to learn and other gangs were going to use that and they were going to create their own large migrant caravans to get in because they're going to realize, oh, we just need to create about 2,000 people and we can get into the country because they're too nice to deny us. And that's like what I fear for a Democratic president is that if they go into power, they're going to start letting all of these criminals in and it's just going to ruin. And this is why even angel moms and angel dads and such as that exist because of illegal immigrants that are, and I've never said this, I've never said all illegal immigrants are criminals, as I said in the last podcast. But I have said that it is more likely that illegal immigrants come from violent pasts or in fact part of violent groups. But again, we're not going to really, because that's more of just something I would say a recent event or anything like that. But we are going to move on to the very next article because I can't find it right now in Fox News. I did see it before, but I cannot, at least from what I can find, see the article. So I will try to find it tomorrow or see any updates in it. But as I said, we cannot find the article right now. So we're instead going to move on to the probably second biggest thing of today is Virginia Dems acknowledged sex assault claim against governor or lieutenant governor, actually, and that it is serious. And yes, if you know from Virginia's or at least the Virginia government situation, they are in complete chaos. They got their governor in the black or in the blackface and the KKK robe incident already on their backs, and now they got the lieutenant governor with credible claims on them, which is definitely not going to help the future if they are confirmed. And so I've said this before. I still wait for sexual assault claims to come in and they bring in facts. They can't just be said. Because even though I do want the Democrats removed from the, or not really the Democrat, but that certain Democrat removed, I still will not say that they are, that means that they're going to be kicked out. I've never said that yet. Until it's completely confirmed or anything else like that or evidence suggesting that it could have happened, that I would say, yes, he's going to go. He's not going to be there anymore. He's going to have someone else replace him. But we're going to move back right into it. So the Fox News article states that The Democratic Party of Virginia and said Tuesday that an allegation of sexual assault against the state's Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax should be taken with profound gravity. Quote, "We will continue to elevate the situation regarding Lieutenant Governor Fairfax," the party said in a brief statement posted to Twitter. In a separate statement, Democratic members of the Virginia House of Delegates and the Senate also said that, quote, "The facts are still being determined. Every individual deserves the opportunity to be heard." And this just brings on irony. This just brings on so much irony, because look at the Kavanaugh case. Look what the Democrats did to Kavanaugh. They did something that probably is going to ruin his life. It did. And as he said, this is going to forever change his life, because he can no longer live with just walking up, because the Democrats had never brought that up, or at least if Blasey Ford did not actually bring it up, because in fact, the claims are completely uncredible. Many of the witnesses said that the event never happened, and some of them even say that she had fabricated parts of her story in order, and she also convinced some of them to help her with her case, because in fact, they didn't even think that it happened. So Blasey Ford, in a sense, was in a terrible situation. And so yes, as I said, this brings on irony, because the Democrats are saying, oh, everyone wants to be heard in this. What about Kavanaugh? Why isn't he heard? Just because he's a Republican doesn't mean he can't be, not that he's not allowed to be heard. But the Democrats will say, well, he was a rapist, so he doesn't get a chance. He's not a rapist, for one thing, by what the evidence says. And it's, again, you're just assuming that because you hate Kavanaugh, even though Kavanaugh, in fact, was on a certain issue pro-abortion. Which, in my opinion, even though I am heavily against abortion, and in fact, this actually relates to a Discord that we have, because I have a Discord, it's mostly just with my friend. Some people, if I don't really know, but mostly with my friends and like that. And they made up, like, their own little section of the podcast, you would say. It's called just Red Teens Podcast. And so, when I got back, it only had five messages. And then right as I came back, right before I started this podcast, it had over 50 messages. And I looked over all of them. They all just talked about abortion. And it was probably just one of the worst things I've ever seen. Like, everyone was just attacking each other. I was even saying inside the Discord, come on, I just want this to post my episodes and just have you guys comment and tell me anything about them. I don't want this to be a political turf war. It's like, even though I like debates, I don't want to talk about abortion right now. This is just, it's like 8:30 p.m. or something like that. But again, it's just, again, the situation overall for the Virginian Lieutenant Governor and also the regular governor, it's not good. It's not good at all. And I at least would say they are in a lot of trouble, even if the claims are debunked. I think, in fact, that the Virginian governor is going to be forced to resign. I'm just saying that right now, but I think that in a matter of some weeks or so, he's just going to resign because of the public approval, because he's obviously not going to get back in office next term. He's obviously not going to after that incident, and if any more incidents are brought. And I think that if the accusations are confirmed for the lieutenant governor, that he will also either be put out of office, or if the accusations are not proven, he will stay in office, but it will dent his political figure for many years. But again, more facts, more like that coming in from the accusations against the two pair of the lieutenant governor and the governor of Virginia, and Virginia continues to suffer controversy, also including with the controversial abortion bill, which I heavily did not support. But we are going to move on from that to the very next article. And this article comes from Fox News again. Venezuela veto. Trump forcefully vows America will never be a socialist country. And I think yes. I think America will never be a socialist country due to the political system. Because the thing about capitalism, because you already probably know I'm a capitalist by far. I've always supported capitalism because I've always believed capitalism is necessary for a country to work. Because when I've looked over communism, I've even heard the entire book itself. The book itself, if I didn't know political ideology, I could think communism sounded great. Because I've always said this about socialism and communism. They sound great, but in real life, they suck. And so, yeah, in a sense, I don't think America will ever be socialist. Or if it is, it's going to be it's just going to destroy the United States like Venezuela. And I remember when Trump used Venezuela, I think about a year ago, as an attack against socialism. And then everyone was trying to attack Trump for racism or something like that, or stereotypes. When in real life, Venezuela was literally destroyed by socialism itself. And so, it says that, the title at least says, that was by Greg Bree of Fox News, Ocasio-Cortez says Trump's scared after he vows America will never be a socialist country. And that's the thing I hate most about Ocasio-Cortez. There's always those, she doesn't know much about the economy, even though somehow she got a degree in economies, and I don't believe that. I think she barely passed, or she went to one of those liberal colleges. And this is just what I would say. I want to go to a liberal college just because it would be much better than going to a conservative. Because I don't like it when everyone agrees with me. It's just boring. It really is just a bore to be with, like, oh, I agree with you. Oh, I agree with you. I like to have people who don't disagree with me because it makes the conversations much more interesting. Even if they're a conservative or a libertarian, like, they have different views. Like, if they're, like, they'll say, oh, I want taxes to be lower, but I support not assassinating any foreign suspects of terror, because as a fact, I support that if they are confirmed to be terrorists, that they should be assassinated overseas. But that's just another discussion for another day. So it says, President Trump vowed during the State of the Union address on Tuesday that America will never be a socialist country, in a pair rebound to the self-described democratic socialist Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Bernie Sanders, that drew loud cheers and standing ovations from Republicans in the House chamber, as well as supportive applause from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And I know this about Nancy Pelosi. She just kind of, yeah, she applauded, but I think she was just applauding because she didn't want to look bad. I'm just saying, Nancy Pelosi's always been against Trump ever since day one. She's been against Trump, and she never believed Trump was even going to have a chance. So I think she kind of did it more to look better. I think she did it to look better on screen because she virtually was on the camera almost every single second of the entire speech. And also, it goes into more. In response after the speech, Ocasio-Cortez told Fox News, "I thought it was great. I think he's scared." Trump cited the economic decline and civil disorder in Venezuela as a calculated tale after his administration last week imposed sweeping sanctions against the regime of Nicolas Maduro. And this is terrifying, again. Well, more of this is terrifying beyond a doubt. Because if Ocasio-Cortez wants to enact the same thing that Nicolas Maduro enacted in Venezuela, do you have any idea what would happen to this country? This country would no longer become probably the most powerful economy in the world. And I'm not going to say that that's fully correct, because I'm not sure if China has passed America yet. But for now, I'm just going to say until I hear other news. But again, if she goes into power, America's economy destroyed. If she goes into power, open borders. If she gets into power, no diplomatic victories. If she gets into power, she will virtually destroy the entire United States culturally and physically itself. She will. And I've been looking at her statements more and more because I feel threatened, because there was also another poll out that came out about 3 weeks ago talking about how 70% of Democrats supported Ocasio-Cortez. That is probably, again, one of the most terrifying things I've ever heard, about how socialism is somehow taking over America, and how somehow, even when we see other countries such as Venezuela, Cuba, and others, and Russia, and China, use this, and they're absolutely destroyed. But then other people might say, but China's prospering. Yeah, because China literally was forced into this. China before was having all these famines like North Korea. North Korea still to this day has famines. They've forever had famines since Kim, I think, I might get this wrong, but Kim Jong-un, I think, ever since he came into power, North Korea has only become stronger military-wise. They've never become stronger as an economy. North Korea before, it wasn't a very strong economy, but it definitely was much better than the economy now, because the economy right now is just dead. It's dead like Venezuela. And so again, Ocasio-Cortez's statements, very terrifying for conservatives and libertarians such as me and anyone else listening to this political podcast. But I'm hoping, as I've always said, that Ocasio-Cortez never gets close to the White House. And I just hope. I'm hoping and I'm almost praying that she never takes even a step inside the White House, other than if she was in a meeting. But we are going to move on from that and move on to a different article from the New York Times. It states, "There are real news about Clinton, and everyone missed it. A big development." And I haven't actually heard that much news from the Clinton administration recently. I really haven't. In fact, the Clinton administration scandals have really become a dip thing. And I think it's mainly because people lose interest. Because if you notice about elections, everyone gets so excited for elections. They're like, yes, it's a new election. I want this candidate to win. And then right after the election, everyone just doesn't care. They're just like, oh, he or she is in office. Eh. And that's really what happens after elections. I've always noticed. And that's even for me. I did, after like only 2 weeks, I already felt bored of the entire, after even Trump came into office, other than when he put on the travel ban, which I supported. I didn't support most of it, but I definitely did support it, because at least of what I've seen, we should put more restrictions on countries that have proven to have a more, you would say, not Muslim fair. I'm not an Islamophobic. I am against Islam's ideas, but I'm not against Islam's people, except for the radical terrorists. But again, I just think we should put more background checks on certain countries like that have been proven to more likely have radical Islamists that want to destroy the West, as they've always said. But we're going to move back into Hillary Clinton, because she's always the best to talk about. So, it states, there are heady days for Democrats. Speaker Nancy Pelosi is flexing her power in the House. State legislators are sweeping away abortion boundaries, and each day brings a new entry into the 2020 presidential sweepstakes. For far-left newcomers demand massive tax hikes on the wealthy, which I've always been against. I think it's insanity, and I think it's going to lower business. And also healthcare for all, which would increase I think it would cost over $3 trillion every year. That's the federal budget spending. That's literally the entire federal budget spending. Instead, we would be spending it all for people, because it would also be torture for the doctors. It would be torture beyond a belief for doctors to have Medicare for all, because unless they were getting paid much more money, they would probably hate it. Yet perhaps the single biggest development of the recent day barely made news. Hillary Clinton's political year is over. Compete finished. Quote, she is not running for president, quote, ended John Podesta, the chairman of her 2016 campaign, told CNN. He dismissed an early report that she was considering a run as a media catnip, adding for emphasis. Quote again, I took her at her word. She is not running for president. So, I actually didn't really think Hillary was going to run it, because she did run in the 2008 election against Barack Obama. She lost, and obviously, as history is told. And so, I don't think she's going to run again. I don't think she's going to win again, even if she gets in, and I don't think she's even going to become the candidate for the Democratic Party, because they got obviously Beto O'Rourke, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Kamala Harris, and Joe Biden now. So she would, if she was to run again, have just extremely stiff competition. She would have competition beyond, you would say, that she had last time. Because last time, all she had then was just Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was the only person that ever posed even a threat to her. It's like kind of like the Russian elections. Like, there was only one person that posed the threat to Vladimir, and he was only going to get like 30%. And just to put a fact out there, the Democratic primaries were, in fact, rigged. Just saying. Because Bernie Sanders would have actually had a chance to become the Democratic National nominee. And I've always said this. If I was to choose between Hillary Clinton and Bernie, I hate them both at the equal. I hate them both for their ideologies. I've never hated them personally. I've only hated their ideologies. I will choose Hillary because she at least has much less extreme views on certain things, such as Medicare, obviously. But again, more investigations tell. So the document itself just states that she will not run again, which again I would just say she's not going to run because she obviously lost that election, so she probably wouldn't consider running again. But we are going to move on to our very likely final article, and this is going to be probably a big article in the future, at least in the future it's going to be a big article, because once it starts getting some attention, it's going to become a national news story. But if you know about the Green New Deal, which is proposed by Ocasio-Cortez, I don't support it. I support the idea of clean water, clean air, and more cleanly produced energy. I just think that heavily regulating this country, by what her even quote says, since World War II, I think it would just destroy the economy, as if we had Medicare for all. It would just wreck the economy, and I've just never supported it because of what it would do. Not what it's saying, but what it would do to the country itself. So she said that she's gained some support, at least from what I've heard from her in the document, but I've looked over support from other candidates about the Green New Deal. Some Democrats are supporting her, maybe a considerable amount, but I don't think she'll get it passed, at least under a president right now, and even a Senate and a House. Because even though the House is becoming more and more left as time passes, I don't think the House right now will be able to get the bill passed through the entire government. Sorry, I had like a yawn right there. But again, the Green New Deal, I say it poses a threat to the economy and the future of the United States, as such as Medicare for all, and just putting this out there also, like banning all weapons, because I just want to say this. If you want to ban all the Americans' weapons, why? Because, like, we can just put back much heavier background checks on people who have criminal records and that have mental illness. And so, I'm not going to go into a long argument because I am running shorter and shorter on time right now. But why would you take the weapons for all Americans? We didn't commit the crime. You're just taking away our protection, and what would we use if the government became a tyrannical state? Because as Alex Jones said too, if you take away the guns, you're virtually taking away what could be the future. Because look at this. As he said also, again, quote, Stalin took the guns, Mao took the guns, Pol Pot took the guns. And that meant that now the government had more control. But as I said, I'm not going to go into a full discussion right now. I might go into a full discussion about certain claims such as by Alex Jones and other political activists such as him. But as I said, that will be our final article of today. And again, the speech itself, it's going to, I think, maybe improve his approval rating overall, but I don't think it's going to improve by what we do say an enormous amount. I think it's definitely going to improve by beyond a lot, but again, it's not going to really change everything. So that's going to really what I got to say for this political podcast. So I thank you for listening. I hope you continue to support me. And I hope you have a great rest of your night and have an even better Wednesday.